p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino, and today I welcome to the show my co-host Trudy O'Connor. Trudy is a certified health education specialist, an animal lover, naturally, and a budding plant-based chef. She grew up in the Chico area, but recently moved back after living in Santa Cruz for the past 20 years. A little bit of culture shock there. Welcome back home, Trudy.
Thanks, Jeannie. Thank you, Jeannie. It's great to be back in Chico. I've had a chance to reconnect with some old friends and meeting lots of new friends, including you. Today, we're going to be talking about sexual harassment in the animal rights movement, starting with the news story that broke on January 29th in the Washington Post. We'll be sharing the words of several prominent animal rights activists on the pervasiveness of sexual harassment and gender discrimination in the animal rights and animal welfare movement, and talking about the significance and magnitude of change that is needed and that is hopefully on the way. Take it away, Jeannie.
Thanks, Trudy. The Washington Post business writer Danielle Paquette reported on the January 29th of this week that an internal investigation by a law firm hired by the Humane Society of the United States, HSUS, identified three complaints of sexual harassment by Chief Executive Officer Wayne Pacelli, and found that senior female leaders said their warnings about his conduct went unheeded, according to two people familiar with the matter and a Humane Society memo describing the investigation. What follows are excerpts from a rather in-depth article. A link to this and other articles and blogs on this topic will be posted on the Non-Human Radio Facebook page for you all to enjoy, or not enjoy, to read. The investigation also found that HSUS, which is one of the country's biggest animal charities, had offered settlements to three other workers who said that they were demoted or dismissed after reporting Pacelli's alleged behavior, according to the Humane Society memo. Investigators from the Washington, D.C. law firm Morgan Lewis interviewed 33 people, including Wayne Pacelli, and reported that there was a perception within the Humane Society that certain women owed their career success to romantic relationships with the chief executive. The memo said that several women who were former leaders of the group had warned Pacelli, who has led the organization since 2004, that his sexual relationships with subordinates, donors, and volunteers could hurt the charity. The memo notes that Pacelli, while not directly addressing the issue, said he had changed his behavior as he grew older.
And let me just share here the quote, Jeannie, from Carol J. Adams on sexual relationships in the workplace. There is no such thing as a consensual relationship between a chief executive officer who can decide which programs get funding and someone on the staff that he is a CEO for.
That's really appropriate. Carol J. Adams is, of course, the feminist author who wrote The Sexual Politics of Meat, and she's been looking at the issues of feminism and women in the animal rights movement for decades now. And yeah, I think it's important to hear that kind of comment because it reminds us that there can be apologists for this type of behavior, and that apology often comes in the form of, oh, but it was a consensual relationship. And this just hammers home, I think it ought to be clear, I think we just need to remember that these relationships within a workplace are fraught with power variables, power differentials, right? And your choice to choose to be in this type of relationship in the workplace is going to be colored by this power differential.
Definitely well said, Jeannie.
Okay, all right, let's get back to the Washington Post story. Pacelli denied the complaints from all three women in an interview on Monday with the Washington Post. He denied allegations that he had consensual sex with donors and volunteers as just ad hominem attacks. And he said no senior women had warned him about his conduct. The earliest complaints about Pacelli date to 2005, when an intern said the chief executive asked to meet outside of work at a public coffee shop, according to the memo reviewed by the Washington Post. According to her account, Pacelli pulled her close, started slow dancing with her, and gave her an unwanted kiss, the investigation document said. And then we're talking about in 2005, so 12, 13 years mm-hmm. ago. According, another woman told investigators that she regularly traveled with Pacelli on business and that donors mentioned his sexual interest in her, remarking that dating him would be, quote, good for her career. just that is so bad in so many ways. On one such work trip in 2006, so 11 years ago, the woman told investigators Pacelli asked her to stop by his hotel room after an event. He asked if he could masturbate in front of her, requested that she take off her clothes, and offered to perform oral sex on her, according to two people briefed on the matter and the memo. When the woman refused, Pacelli told her not to tell anyone or she would destroy the Humane Society and lose her job, according to the memo. So this, we're going to back away from the article for a minute. So this is an extremely important point. It probably is a dynamic that occurs in all sorts of nonprofit situations, but I think it's particularly poignant in the animal rights movement because in many cases, we're looking, the dynamic here is of a really young, idealistic activist. Maybe it's his or her first job, mostly women, who are feel that they are working for the animals. So therefore, when you start to question the leaders of this organization that you're rightly proud of, that has achieved some amazing positive actions for the animals, it's natural to fear that speaking out is going to lead to hurting the animals, right? I think that that is an unusual characteristic of the animal rights movement for sexual harassment activities. Back to the article, which is from the January 29th issue of the Washington Post. The people briefed on the investigation told the Post that they wanted to come forward to repair the culture at the Humane Society, which they believe does important work to help animals. The organization is focused on ending animal cruelty, abolishing puppy mills, and banning seal slaughter, among other causes. And yeah, to say on Non-Human Radio here, we've reported on many legislative breakthroughs that the HSUS has been involved in, from its campaigns against SeaWorld for captive marine mammals, to its work on state referendums for animal for or against animal agriculture, and its K-8 campaigns with major companies like McDonald's and Unilever. So back to the article. The people briefed on the investigation said that they worried that money going to address Pacelli's action was misdirected from protecting wildlife. That's a valid donor concern, yeah? Pacelli said that he would not comment on any settlements, and the amount of the settlements was not disclosed. So that is the Washington Post on an investigation conducted by the Washington Post, by the Humane Society of the United States on itself, investigating its CEO and the corporate culture overall for sexual harassment. Now we're going to go over to Trudy O'Connor, who will share some of the responses from within the animal rights movement. To be clear, as these allegations show, this some of this behavior goes back within the HSUS, back to 2005, and it's not new to the animal rights movement. So we have a lot of serious thinking and writing that's been done about these issues, and so we're going to hear from Trudy on this.
And you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio hosted by Jeannie Trezino and Trudy O'Connor. So for our next story, vegan feminist activist and author Patrice Jones wrote a great analysis of sexual harassment in her animal rights blog at bravebirds.org. Her December blog foreshadowed this week's events in the animal rights community at the same time that wider society was wrestling with hashtag MeToo as one top leader after another toppled from power in the entertainment industry, politics, and in the business world. A little background on Patrice Jones. Patrice is an eco-feminist writer, scholar, and activist. She co-founded Vine Sanctuary, that's V-I-N-E, Vine Sanctuary in Vermont, a small LGBTQ-run farmed animal sanctuary that operates with an understanding of the intersection of oppressions, or isms, a topic on which she has written extensively. Those isms we're referring to are sexism, feminism, racism, and, of course, speciesism. Patrice wrote the following in her December blog. The behavior of some men in the movement has led some women in the movement to be compromised in their ability to do the work and has even caused some women to drop out altogether. The remaining women often work within organizations where their ideas are not sufficiently heard. Over time, this has led some of the most perniciously problematic men to gain more and more power and influence. At present, men who have sexually harassed or otherwise violated women occupy leadership positions at several major organizations. Their disrespect for women undermines the effectiveness of those organizations, while their collective callousness affects the strategies and tactics of the movement to the detriment of the non-human animals for whom the movement exists.
Right, so the most important point here to me is that the behavior of some men has led to some or many women dropping out of the animal rights movement. And that's sad, and the absence of these women is something that means that their energy, creativity, and ideas, their voice, is missing, right? And if we know anything about how progress is made, is that we need everyone to pitch in. If we're missing these compassionate, passionate, voices, we are not seeing the full scope of intellect and heart that can be applied to this problem.
Yes, and as we mentioned earlier, this issue is not new. For example, back in 2011, Carol J. Adams, who we quoted earlier, the writer and activist who we reference frequently on Non-Human Radio, wrote an essay about the animal rights movement, noting, among other things, the following. Sexual inequality is one of the defining elements of the animal movement.
I'm going to stop right there, right? So if we look at who attends conferences, who's active even on social media, it's 90, I would say, I would dare say it's 90 or 95% women.
Right.
Right? And yet we look at organizations like HSUS, like PETA. PETA is maybe an exception because we have Ingrid Newkirk at the top. ASPCA, a bunch of other organizations, even a group like Vegan Outreach. We see men at in these top positions, these top executive positions.
So continuing with that, men still predominate as leaders and speakers, women as the grassroots workers, as Jeannie was saying. The animal movement, by ignoring or remaining insufficiently attentive to the connections between patriarchy and speciesism, ends up reproducing women's inequality in its structure, its focus, its arguments, its use of women's labor, and in the accessibility it provides to sexual exploiters.
So, yeah. We see replicated in this movement that is aimed at the rights of non-human beings, structurally taking away the rights or reducing the rights of the women in the movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's just so much that you can say on this issue. Are we doing on time? Maybe we're doing okay. So I'll just go out. One woman who was a victim of sexual harassment, she wrote the following on Carol Adams' blog. Carol Adams has a quite good blog, and for the last few months, she's been opening up to guest writers who can post anonymously, because women are still afraid of retaliation and harassment. There are serious career consequences to speaking out in this environment. And she wrote, like many women in the AR movement, animal rights movement, it's been ingrained in me not to speak up for fear of hurting the animals. I'm an introvert. I don't like drawing attention to myself. And most of all, I don't want to be identified as a victim. I don't want my success in life to be diminished or reduced to my sexuality because of what one man put me through. I don't want to talk about these things. I didn't want to experience them or their aftermath in the first place. So I certainly don't want to talk about them, but now it seems we have to. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing women feeling like, you know, I have to speak out, if not for me alone, then for the next young woman whose voice might be quashed by this system.
Right, and so many are fearful in the industry, as you said, that, you know, if they speak up, it's going to make the industry look bad and it's going to hurt the non-human animals in the long run. And that's a really difficult position to put these women in.
But I think that's important to say, and this is what this author wrote. It's the men who have put the animal groups, brands, and missions in jeopardy with their actions.
Right. Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. So, anyway, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio hosted by Jeannie Trezino and guest-hosted by Trudy O'Connor. I thought we'd finish up on how animal activists can move forward. at least start to move forward. I think we have our whole society has a long way to go to move forward on the issue of sexual harassment in the workplace. But our final piece that I wanted to share is an essay by an animal rights activist and author, Mark Hawthorne. And he wrote in a blog, sexual harassment occurs everywhere, but within the animal rights movement, it is especially pervasive, in part because there are so many more women than men, and in part because of the higher status men often have. Men are hailed as heroes, regarded as lending legitimacy to campaigns, and looked upon as, quote, natural leaders. Many of these men use their status to manipulate, harass, and even sexually assault female employees, volunteers, and interns within animal rights organizations. Women are told that if they speak out, they will be hurting the animals. This is what you'll hear over and over. That's why you hear it coming up with Carol Adams, and you hear it coming up here with Mark Hawthorne's blog. In some cases, the victims are threatened with lawsuits or physical violence if they go public. And consider for a moment the tragic irony of how sexism and misogyny, coupled with no small amount of male privilege, impacts a movement that prides itself on working for liberation. Do the male CEOs, managers, supervisors, and others who treat women like objects and property not see how their attitudes and actions contradict the most fundamental philosophy of animal rights? Not to mention how they're forcing so many talented, hardworking, and compassionate women to leave. With the growth of the hashtag MeToo campaign, we're beginning to see certain men in power, and men almost always hold the power over women in the workplace. We're beginning to see these men held accountable for their behavior and crimes within politics and in the entertainment and in the media and multimedia industries. The rising tide seems to be lifting the animal rights movement as well. Hallelujah. Men are being terminated from their positions within animal protection organizations for harassing women, something I cannot imagine that would have happened even a few years ago. If you're a man, or you identify as a man in the animal rights movement, and you truly respect women and value them as colleagues, here are some things that you can and should do, according to Mark Hawthorne. Number one, be a strong ally. Number two, believe them when they tell you that they've been harassed or assaulted. That is a no-brainer. Ask what you can do to support them. Do not tolerate sexist jokes or campaigns. And we haven't even done a show on sexist campaigns for animal rights, but you'll know them when you see them. And I'll say PETA is pretty outlandish in that regard. Do respect women's boundaries. Do not normalize the behavior of abusers by making excuses for them or giving them a platform. And remember, men especially, that you are fighting injustice. Campaigning against one form of domination while participating in or allowing another perpetuates systemic oppression, and women drop out of the movement because of this. So I just think it's important to remember that. Trudy, why don't you go ahead and tell us about donor pushback?
Is this the article about Tofurky?
Yep.
Okay. So Tofurky donated about $250,000 in cash and products to animal welfare groups last year. And then Rachel Perman, Tofurky's director of charitable giving, wrote in a company statement that, quote, moving forward, I will not be donating to groups that have known chronic problems with sexual harassment and or gender discrimination, whether it be problem individuals or chronic patterns of organizational behavior. Too many women have left the animal movement due to these issues. It must stop.
So there's how you, as a donor, whether you're a $250,000 a year donor like Tofurky, or a $25 or $100 a year donor, you want to look to the practices of the organization that you are supporting. And if you feel that their mission is strong enough and you still want to give that money, send a letter with that money. Send a comment. Lauren Ornelas, founder of the Food Empowerment Project and a powerful speaker, an activist on all dimensions of food issues. We've talked about her work before. She talks about worker justice, environmental justice, and socioeconomic justice, and the way forward on all those three fronts. She has taken this position on for her own organization, for the Food Empowerment Project. Their board or staff will not speak on panels with known sexual harassers or appear in photos or films with them. They will strive to not be on panels with bullies or sexual harassers. But we know that many bullies exist behind the scenes, so we can only do our best, right? That's all that any of us can do. And they have maintain a zero tolerance policy for any type of sexual harassment by their own employees or volunteers, which will result in automatic dismissal. And finally, for all speakers and performers hired by the Food Empowerment Project, if you're found to be propositioning anyone at our events, you will be violating our contract terms and you will not be paid. This will have an impact on conferences and animal rights conventions, right? There's where there is a culture of hero worship, where you go to see the keynote speaker, usually a guy from one of the big organizations. This type of resistance against the norm will have a ripple effect. And I commend the Food Empowerment Project for taking a pretty outright stance on that. All right. I think now we will move on.
Are you ready for the calendar of events?
I think I am. Okay. I think I'm ready for something a little lighter.
A little lighter. Let's go with that.
Okay. First, I want to say the foodie tip of the week, or the scuttlebutt around town, is that Ohm Foods is proceeding along with their upgrades and remodel for their new downtown location, which will be at 2nd and Broadway.
Yay.
So if all goes well, they're planning to be open by mid-February, and we'll give you a report on that. Otherwise, we have coming up on February 9th. I can't believe it's February already.
It's tomorrow.
In Sacramento, we have the Friends Not Food Bacon Fest protest. So there's this annual Bacon Fest in Sacramento, and there's going to be a protest against that. Sacramento Animal Save and Anonymous for the Voiceless Sacramento invite you to join them as they come together for a peaceful protest and Cube of Truth demo at the 2018 Sacramento Bacon Fest on Friday, February 9th. And they're going to meet at the Sacramento Co-op and walk over to Revolution Wines on S Street, where the Bacon Fest will be held. And they will provide signs and leaflets. And if you want more information, check out their Facebook event, which is linked to the events page at Non-Human Radio. And if that's not your cup of tea, also on February 9th, an evening with Elaine Boozler to benefit Animal Place. Comedian Elaine Boozler has been named one of the 50 greatest stand-up comedians of all time by Rolling Stone magazine, will be appearing at the Auburn State Theater on Friday, February 9th. And proceeds from that event will go to benefit Animal Place through her rescue organization called Tales of Joy. And all proceeds, 100% of proceeds from merchandise sales, will be donated to Animal Place. And you can get tickets for that at the Auburn State Theater website, or through Animal Place's events page. And I just want to, these are all out-of-town events. Every single event is out-of-town. Why don't you tell us about the event you're planning on March 9th, which I think is in town. Is that correct?
It is in town, March 9th, and this is brand new, hot off the press today.
We love it.
The Blackbird Books and Cafe has agreed to host a singer, songwriter, performer named Rachel Lark. She is a sex positive, feminist, funny, wonderful, intelligent woman with an amazing singing voice. And she will be talking about a lot of what we were talking about today, and that is, you know, equal rights for women and respect for women and women's rights. So that will be Friday, March 9th at Blackbird, and we will be posting some more information on the Blackbird Facebook page.
Great, and we'll share that. And I just want to let folks know, if you're interested in any of these events that we talk about on the show, you can find them on the Non-Human Radio Events tab, where they'll show up as Facebook events, and you can find out more information that way. You can, if you have any tips for events to share, go ahead and send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. And I just want to give a shout out for one more local event that's coming up, and this is also hot off the press. We had Melissa Schuster on the show a couple of weeks ago. She's working on the Blue Zone project for the city or town of Paradise, and they'll be having their first public meeting on Blue Zone Project Paradise on Monday, March 19th at 6 p.m. at the Paradise Performing Arts Center, and that will be a free event. Nick Buettner will be giving a presentation and sharing some of the many ways that the Blue Zone Project will enhance the quality of life in Paradise. And of course, one of the foundations of the Blue Zone way of improving a community is a plant-based diet. It's not necessarily going vegan, but it's definitely reducing your meat and animal product consumption. So kudos to Melissa. I hope to have her back on the show with in a few months with an update on how that project is going. It'd be a great project for the town of Paradise and for the whole region. Okay, we have one last piece of business to take care of, and that is the animal rights quote of the week. Take away, Trudy.
The animal rights quote of the week is from feminist animal rights co-author Carol J. Adams, who wrote, "If we don't have justice for women in this movement, we aren't going to have a movement." And that is the importance of hashtag ARMeToo.
Awesome. Yes, I think that we can't forget that the basis of the animal rights movement is justice for non-human animals, who are the most vulnerable beings in our enmeshed in our modern society. Non-human radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Thanks so much. And thanks always to Bill Mash and Sue Hildebrand for their engineering assistance and moral support. Stay tuned for Sue's show, The Real Issue, coming up next.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, or its staff.
We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow earthlings who would rather not be killed and eaten, hunted, raced, experimented upon, and otherwise abused. Many thanks again to Trudy O'Connor for filling in as co-host on this edition of Non-Human Radio.
My pleasure, Jeannie. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against. This is Trudy O'Connor and Jeannie Truzzino signing off.
Until next week, be different, be better, be kind,
and go vegan.
Every action is a reaction. We've got one planet and one chance.
And this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.